Hello, and welcome to the Pony Sync for December 10th, 2019. Welcome to it at our new time, 2 p.m. Eastern. And hi, everybody who is here in the room. Can everybody please introduce themselves? I'm Andy. I'll be your host.
I'm Sean.
I'm Theo. Carl.
I'm Joe, and I had trouble finding the mute button.
Okay, I think that was everybody, and only one collision. So, yay. We're a safe group here today. Excuse me. All right. So I have put the issues for today in the sync thread. I have still not gotten around to changing the program so that it sorts things alphabetically or really does anything else exciting. So
maybe is it something is filtering out the things that have no PRs or issues is that a easier thing to do? That might
I can add that too.
That's probably, I'm just asking because even just rather than alphabetizing, that might in some ways be just sure. It would cut down on it. That could be enough. And so that's why I'm asking if maybe that's an easier thing for you to do.
Yeah. I could probably do that. Okay. But let's start with RFCs. And on the RFC front, we have one thing, PR for 155, added draft on Pony RT options passing. Let's take a look at that.
We had Joe's comment last week, which I agreed with.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it doesn't look like really anything's happened since last week on that, so, other than a couple of thumbs up here. Okay. That's it on the RFC front.
Yeah. So at least on Joe, on this one, my feeling is I don't have a strong feeling about this one way or another. I'm kind of the, I understand the motivation, and I think that at least the stuff around, you know, how the current system could be problematic going forward, and whatnot. I think his summary of issues is good. I don't know that this is necessarily the best way, but I feel like it's worth. I don't think we have anything to lose by trying it out and seeing how it actually feels in usage. When I agree with his basic point that the current one has problems going forward. Thoughts from Joe or anyone else?
Yeah, I don't have anything. I don't have strong feelings about it one way or the other. I think that the RFC is an improvement over what we have. Mm-hmm. So and I'm just kind of generally in favor of moving it forward, especially if this person's also willing to work on implementing it. So that's kind of my take.
Yeah, that's okay. That would be a good summary of mine as well. Does anybody disagree? Otherwise, I feel like you know this is pretty good, and put this into a final comment period to move it forward.
Seems good to me.
Yeah.
All right. I will be off over here writing this up for Alex and adding to Last Week in Pony.
Okay.
Discuss that.
All right. While Sean's doing that, let's move on to Pony C. Got a few PRs. 3419, ensure non-blocking process wait and wait processes wait and correctly report process exit status. So let's see. This still needs to be tested on Windows. Yeah, it doesn't run the process tests on Windows. So
I'm confused by that.
Hi, it's mine. So the initial thing was there was a way.
Oh my God, you're here. Hey, it's been so long. Hey, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm so glad you changed the time. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm awesome. Because I'm back. Just to shortcut you looking through all this massive monster. So the initial thing was there was a wait PID call which is blocking, and I didn't like it. And I used NoHang to make it not block. And then I discovered some more issues with how we handle exiting shard processes by we don't check if it was killed by a signal and stuff. And yeah, so it now doesn't block on wait PID, but it actually has never been a big problem because we only wait when we killed the process or when it closed all of its descriptors. So yeah, it's actually fine. Now I changed the signature of process notify to get to receive a class either signaled or exited containing the signal number or the exit code. That's it. It makes, previously when a process was killed, for example, it returned process exit code to 0, which is just wrong and invalid. That's all there is to it. Yeah. So it's a breaking change. So maybe you want me to go through an RFC process first. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Discuss. I'm totally fine if someone is uncomfortable with how this is now.
So the API change is only for the internal part of the API, right?
No, it's also from the usage perspective.
Oh.
I should have.
It looks like process notify dispose. Is that the one we're referring to where child exit status, the second argument is now
exactly
a class instead of an integer?
Yes.
And I guess the argument here for skipping RFC would be that this is like, you know, the current behavior is broken and buggy. Yes. And so this is what's required to fix it.
Yeah. So when I did this, I remembered I wanted to write a test harness for testing pony programs interacting with the process environment in a broad sense, and I still need to do this, and I will do it. So the only thing that this one doesn't catch is, say, you kill a process with a term signal, and it has a handler for term, and then it sets its exit code there and just exits. Then we won't get this exit code. We will just get, hey, this process was killed by a signal. But it's fine for me. It's just one problem or possible problem I encountered.
So I personally don't think that this should have to go through an RFC. I say this because I think that that the existing wait PID is kind of, I would consider that a bug.
Okay.
That's my personal take, that wait PID, given how the Pony runtime works, is effectively a bug.
Yeah, I would be on kind of the same page here.
And I believe it was even discussed when this went in that we were doing this for expediency of getting something in as it was better than nothing, but that we needed to go back through and address this. And there was supposed to have been an issue created for it. It might, there might be one, there might not be, I'm not sure.
Okay, I'm going to dig through the issues and see if it I can find.
It could have ended up in a to-do that got deleted at some point when, like, Carl was reorganizing the code to add Windows support. But I definitely know that this was something that when it was written and it came out of Walroo Labs, that we were all like, this is good. We'd like to have this in here. I think it would be helpful for folks. But, you know, it's not optimal. But on the other hand, we don't think that it's, like, hugely awful for right now that this has the weight PID call in here, given how we imagine it would be used, but we should fix this.
So
I agree.
The thing I said I didn't understand, was we have Windows support now, but the Windows tests don't run, the tests don't run on Windows. Why don't the tests run on Windows? Do they not work on Windows, or do we just never turn them on?
So we tried to turn them on. I think it was when working on files or something. It's also like ages ago, and there was some weird bug is hitting us in debug builds. There's an issue for this.
Okay. We don't run debug builds for anything anymore as part of CI.
Oh, that opens up opportunities. So there's just a strange exception. It's the issue 3094. Which is preventing us. It's weird. So I don't have any experience in debugging Windows issues like this. And I think Gordon also didn't make any progress because it's meh. It's also not super important. Yeah, but I tried to enable them in this pull request.
Mm-hmm.
See where we go.
You tried to enable them, and there was still something blew up.
I didn't yet.
Oh, okay. See if it works.
Yeah. When I had originally done the Windows factoring work, the tests were working, but they had been flaky, and then they seemed to be okay for me, but I think they were just quiet for a little while, and then they came back as being flaky. Windows is just flaky in general.
Yes. Well, yeah. It's same for me.
Okay. All right. anything else we need to go over on that? Take that as a no.
I'm fine.
Okay. 3413, small steps towards enabling WSign conversion for some submodules.
Which one was that?
3413.
3413. All right, let's see what's happened with this. What's happened? I went through the commits left in this PR, and I think they are all portable and necessary. They don't hint at a problematic choice of image types of program. Okay, so So, does anybody have time to review this? I don't in the next week or so. Pretty much basically to make sure that, wait, benchmark, okay, that, that each of these, that each of these conversions is, intentional and not in any way, it would not be problematic.
I'm not sure that I'm going to have time to look at it.
All right.
I'll set aside some time, I guess.
Okay.
And I'm not sure my C is good enough for this.
All right. So, Joe, you'll try to take a look at it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll put you on it. And then I just pinged anybody who's a committer to see if they have see if they have time. No, it looks, even says two suggestions, Dippin and Joe, because they have recently edited these files. I don't know what recently means on that, but sure, okay.
Yeah, recently is a is interesting and qualifying.
Okay. 3320. Work in progress, compiling LLVM 9.0.0.
Any updates, Gordon?
I recently tested with 9.0.1 RC1, and it still has the exception handling errors in Linux.
Whee!
Okay. Thirty-two, thirty-four. Build Pony C using CMake.
Yeah, I haven't had any time to look at this anymore.
Okay. All right. On to issues. 3418, array insert allows out of bounds access.
It doesn't really. I was really freaked out by the title at first too. But essentially, I think the documentation here is a little bit confusing with the issue. But there's not like a pointer or safety issue here.
I would also say it's we should update the documentation here.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think the documentation could be clarified, but it's behaving as it should.
Yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't even be possible to insert anything into an empty array, for example. If I totally open to arguments that it shouldn't, but I think it's good as it. I would keep it as it is.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Honestly,
I can hear you.
Yes, Sean.
You did not hear anything on your end before when it went haywire on my end, right?
No. Correct.
Oh my God. Okay. That's good. I'm glad it was only me who was subjected to that. Wow. I think my ears are going to be ringing for a while.
Okay.
Um, I'm assigning myself to this one. I'm doing it.
Okay. 3417 returns some object literals and constructors get failed by compiler.
Is this the one that was currently marked as blocked? I haven't gotten to it yet. Is that the one? 30.
I don't believe so.
No.
30, what number?
3417.
Oh, we're on issues. Okay. All right. 3417. Okay. All right. No. Okay. Different one. Yeah, I mean, I think this is, it's already tagged as needs investigation, right? It basically, I don't think there's anything else other than somebody can pick it up at some point.
Okay. 3416 cannot consume a local in an else block in whose try block the local is consumed after any possible error.
Yep. That's a bug, I would say. Well, I don't know if it's a bug, but it's certainly I think it's an enhancement that we could do. I wouldn't call it a bug per se. I think it's a known limitation of the compiler as Joe points out in the comment, which is why I tagged it like 5 days ago with, yeah, it's an enhancement needs discussion.
I think from a discussion standpoint, I think everyone would probably agree that it would be desirable for the compiler to, basically the issue here is that we, it's not a safety issue because, the programs that the compiler allows are valid in this case. It's just that we're not allowing all valid programs. The program that Gordon pasted would be safe, but the compiler doesn't know that it's safe. I think everyone would probably agree that it would be cool if the compiler did know that it was safe. It's just that it would be a rework of the analysis that the compiler does.
Yeah, and I mean, you can rewrite that so that the compiler would be okay with it and get the same functionality, right? But you'd have to rewrite it. And in basic Pony style, you might say that, hey, I don't normally ever, I never have code in my try blocks after any partial function, right? It's like a partial function for me. It's always the last thing. So it's not the worst thing in the world that it does it. My take would be is like for things that are like this and other small enhancements to the compiler, unless it's a really easy change, right, to the existing compiler, my take would be is this is something I would very much like to fix when we do like the next round of compiler. You get further along with that, Joe, right? Then we can start knocking off a bunch of these for stuff that's easier, unless it happens to be really easy to address in the current one.
I definitely don't think it falls into the easy category. In fact, yeah, I can go ahead and add that label here.
I'm pretty sure it's not, because we've had this conversation before, and it's like we could have a hella complex label for this from previous discussions.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's, yeah. I agree with all that. This is one place where, and a while back, I was lobbying for try then. Well, right now we already have a then clause for try, but it's almost never used. It's like used as a like then in a try block means whether errored or not, always run this at the end as kind of like a cleanup thing, kind of like a with block does. but it's almost never used, and I would think it'd be more useful to say then means something different in that, like, so you have to try, and then you have stuff that could error, and then is like stuff that cannot error, or like if we don't catch any errors from the then block, they would propagate upward if there are any, but there probably wouldn't be any by kind of good practice. But like we'd have a section of the code block that happens after the partial section and executes with local variables from the partial section like intact, but it cannot raise an error, and you know the entire thing is going to execute there. And so you'd know in that case, like in this case, that would be written as like in Gordon's example, if you try let n equals blah, then you know the rest of this block, which is called the function called two, with n times consume t, and then it would be else consume t. So you'd have the compiler would know that either then would be called or else would be called, and it would know in that case that the consume was total, and that would be like if we were willing to go along with that semantic change in what try then means, then this would become a simple change in the compiler. But that's probably outside the scope of this discussion. I just kind of wanted to bring it up because I still feel like try then would be an improvement in this kind of pattern.
I would like to push the discussion even a little bit further outside of this for a moment while you brought that up, Joe, and say I think that the semantics are not super well specified in some of these areas, right? Around like what happens if you have like errors in this particular case. In that particular case, there was a discussion I had with somebody on Zulip where they were looking to find out like what all of them were. And so I think whether we change the semantics here or not, I don't think that they're particularly well documented, and we should document the existing semantics better anyway, as we don't have anything beyond going and looking at the compiler in a lot of cases to document what exactly happens with some of the semantics around like try and other stuff.
Yeah, I think that is the case that we should have. I know Benoit was pushing for this back when he was involved with the project. I don't know that he did a lot of work on it specifically, but I think that he definitely felt strongly that we should have better documented semantics. I mean, right now what we have is you can look at the compiler implementation or you can look at the tutorial. And if the tutorial doesn't say anything about it and the compiler implementation, then the compiler implementation is the only thing. So I would agree that some kind of language specification would be cool. And if I know Sylvan had that talk that he gave at PList, starting with semantics, I would argue that you should start with this. I don't know if you take it that far. Context of like stuff coming down the pipe notwithstanding, I think there should be some documented semantics for the language, I agree.
Yeah, and even not necessarily going to the level that Sylvan was talking about in that, but just like the semantics even in the tutorial for what happens in some of these is not not there. And the only way to figure it out is in a number of these cases is to go look at the compiler right now. And I think that at minimum, we should at least be able to have in a tutorial answers to what happens in X scenario. And that we should have, in some of these trickier ones, we should have tests which also like work on it if we don't have like the deep full specification, which we don't right now, you know, so.
Yeah, and even if we did have a deep, like, formal specification, it's still sort of an open question for me how that would get tied into the real implementation. Like, okay, so you have a formal specification, you know, written with some formal specification tool. You know, you can do proofs about that formal specification, but how do you know that the compiler implementation matches the formal specification apart from just creating test cases and doing that stuff that we kind of need to do anyway? So with regard to, you know, talking about tests for those specifications as well, yeah, I think that something, I think, like, The buzzword is something like, I forget the exact buzzword, something like literate code or literate programming, where the idea is like you're writing text and then like the code is sort of added into it. And you're writing text and then you could have like a test that is part of that text. And so you're describing like in this situation, a try block should do this. And in this situation, the try block does this. And you have a test that can actually be executed directly from that specification in one place. I think something like that would be ideally what we could try to shoot for, where like the documentation for the specification is generated from the same sort of like thing that we use as a test harness. And we've just like have sort of drawn out explanations that like written and paragraphs like interspersed with code that we execute to prove, hey, the try block actually does this thing. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
Anybody want to follow up to that? Okay. Joe, I don't know if you want to try to capture any of that in a comment.
Yeah, I'll write a few sentences.
That would be cool.
Yeah. If you can condense that or to whatever degree you think is appropriate.
I'm going to skip talking about try then. Well, no, I'll add it. So it's two comments. Okay. All right. I'll do that. I may not be super responsive to the next ticket.
All right. Next one is 3414. Remind Windows users to add compiler to path. Hey, Windows users.
Well, this is just a change to the README. We left it to see if someone wanted to do a simple PR. But I mean, it's trivial to add.
Yeah. Let's leave that there with help wanted, and somebody wants to pick it up, they can. Okay. 3410, overhaul README installation instructions. Was this covered last week?
Yes, until Pony Up 50 is done, where this is we're holding off on this until Pony Up 50 is done.
Okay.
Because a big part of it would be Pony Up becoming the official primary supported way to install on Linux-based OSs.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, just a heads up on that. It probably I'm not going to have time to work on Pony Up until either this weekend or next week.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, I'm happy to guide anyone else through if they want to make that change, but otherwise, it will be until this weekend or next week that will wait.
Okay. 3406. Let's see here. No mention of code of conduct at getting help and README.
It's like 3406.
This is from, looks like last week, may have come up in the
I
sync as well.
This is being picked up because of comments that we added last week during sync.
Yeah.
That's okay. There's nothing new on that.
Yep. Got it. Okay. Pony release 0.33.1. This is issue 3363.
Yep. I am hoping to do that this weekend.
Cool. All right. 3305, compiler crash with intersection types of equivalent interfaces. Looks like we added the help one and tag last week, so nothing new.
Yep.
3126 LLVM 3.9.1 optimization pass crash on merge successive reallocations of the same variable.
Yep, so somebody was able to show what looks like the same bug on
7.1.0.
So it might be that this still exists in some slightly different form.
Okay. Right.
Which number is that again?
3126.
3126. Right. I'm going to remove blocked and stale. I'm going to remove blocked and stale from it, as I don't think that's the case. This is bug needs investigation again.
Okay.
And they may or may not be related, but it certainly looks similar to me.
All right. Cool. All right, let's just jump to pony patterns since it's right here. PR 43. Oh, sorry, what?
I said we!
Yeah, PR 43. Add four patterns for sharing code in pony.
Yep. So Eric already reviewed all of this before the PR was opened. I asked Joe to take a look as well. The biggest thing that's really a question right now is the names for each of the things. In particular, the pattern that I call the inheritance pattern, which is teaching people that you can use default implementations on traits and interfaces to implement something which is inheritance-like in the sharing of code. Not sharing of state, but in fields, but sharing of code in that. And is inheritance actually the right name for the pattern? You'll see there's a pattern in here called mixin, which is being able to do basically how you could simulate something like a mixin in Pony. The one that's called global function is, hey, for people who are coming from a language where they have global or bare functions, how would you do that in Pony? It shows doing that in a primitive. And it also covers the notify pattern that we have for reuse and whatnot. And more than anything else, what before this gets published, that I would like to make sure we're good on. Anything else I think is minor details. Both Joe and Eric have gone over it, so I'm feeling really good on that. Except for the names, where both Eric and Joe and myself, all three of us, have definite hesitation around the name of that inheritance pattern. And once we put it out there, I think it's a little hard to change the name of the pattern if people start talking about it.
Sure.
Yeah, for me, the major point is, it seems like we talk about, okay, Pony doesn't have inheritance. Okay, here's how you do inheritance. Like, it seems like that there's just a bit of dissonance there that might be confusing. So I don't know if we want to say, like, Pony doesn't have inheritance of concrete types. But here's how you can inherit from an abstract type, and maybe that's good enough.
I'm okay with that. I'm definitely okay with that, and I think that's an improvement over what I wrote, Joe. Right? Would we still keep that name as inheritance then at that point?
I think that would resolve most of my concern, to keep the name as inheritance and just like kind of be more clear that, like, okay, inheritance of concrete types is not allowed, but abstract types is okay.
I would feel good about that. Thoughts from anybody who I didn't reach out to before I opened this PR? which is everyone else. Okay, then. I will open that. I will make that change, Joe, and ask you to take a peek to see if it's good by you. I'll then merge it. And anybody who's on here, if they want to, they can. If there's any smaller things that they have a problem with, they can open PRs and I'll go over them with them and we can make those changes. But having Joe, both you and Eric go through it, I feel like this is this got pretty heavy review before it even got to this point. Everyone good with that?
Yep.
Cool. And then hopefully this will help out with an awful lot of the beginner questions where people are often wondering, how can I do this thing that I'm used to doing from other languages? In particular, I think the global function one more than anything else.
Okay. Let's go back up the list and go to Pony Up, issue number 50. Ensure that storage paths conform to relevant platform standards.
Yep, that's the one we discussed.
Kind of talked about already. Yeah.
Yep, earlier as part of the other doohickey.
Yeah. Is there anything else we need to say about it specifically? You're good.
Oh no, I think we're good. Yep.
So if you're in a rush or so, I can take a look at it this week.
I'm going to have time in the few days before and after Christmas. So my only concern with it would be is that we have everything good and we've done and we're ready by like, you know, by a few days before Christmas. So the timeline that Theo was talking about fits in perfectly fine with my timeline. I don't think it not getting done on Theo's timeline would be I think that Theo's timeline is fine. It's not problematic for my being able to get some stuff done when I'm on vacation, which, you know, I'd have a chance to do then. But if you wanted to pick it up and, hey, then have somebody else who's more familiar, familiar with the code base as well. I think that there's that's good too.
Okay. If I find the time, I'm going to assign myself.
Okay.
So you know I'm working on it. And if someone else is first, just assign yourself, and boom.
Yep. Perfect. All right. Sounds good.
Cool.
All right. Last week in Pony, 522. Just that exists. got a few issues on the Pony tutorial. 408, add runtime basics to the tutorial.
Yep. Ryan's going to start working on this when he has some time.
Oh, great. Okay. Awesome. That's a thing that I think would be very cool to have.
Everything that's on there should be basically conversation back and forth between Ryan and myself.
Okay. 218, more real-world examples in destructive read documentation.
Ditto, but I believe there is probably something which Joe was also part of the conversation. There's been a bit more, so we might want to he might want to take a look here for a moment.
What's the number? I was finishing up another comment.
Sorry, 281 in Pony tutorial.
Let's see. Is this? Yeah. You did add. You were part of the conversation a while ago on that. And CO is a little bit involved there. I think, Joe, if you're like, if you agree with CO's statement at the end, then I think, you know, just basically like, yeah, you agree as well. Hey, Ryan, move ahead with this whenever, if you have time, whenever you have time.
Okay. All right. 216, if def is not documented in the tutorial.
I think this is all Ryan and I at this point. Non-Jedi, Joe, let's see, anything recent on it? It's Ryan and I. Okay, Joe, 7 days ago. Okay, right. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, basically this is at the place where it's like Ryan doesn't feel like that he's qualified to write it up, but between Joe and I, we've kind of documented the things that would that somebody would go over in this section. So.
All right. 210, as a newbie, I'd like to learn from the tutorial how to make the debug output from Pony Code. Kirk.
Yeah, unless somebody disagrees with anything that's in the conversation between Ryan and I, this is good. But anyways, go ahead and say what. Basically, Ryan was just like, I want to change the order of the things in the appendices to put the ones that are people are more likely to need higher up in the compiler args listing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Which I think sounds like a glorious idea.
Okay. Can support that. 190, add a chapter on collections.
Right. So what Ryan and I came to on this is that when he has some time, he would work on a chapter which is not specifically on collections, but is a guided tour of the standard library, highlighting some things that exist. So and for you know classes, et cetera, and everything is there as kind of like a hey. You know, you should know that like there's maps, sets, promises, you know, the type of guided tour thing there where the intent would be to help people discover what's there that they can learn about without like duplicating information which already exists in the standard library documentation and could then get out of sync between the two locations. I talked to Bruce Tate, you know, who's doing the Groxio stuff, and he was describing to me after Ryan and I had this conversation about what would have been really helpful to him and what he when he was learning and this guided tour thing. He also mentioned to me as something that would have been really helpful. His biggest problem was knowing, like, for example, that promises, you know, like that promises existed or that there was this collections class or that collections class that he might be interested in or where to even go looking for discovery of information in the standard library, which I think is in keeping with what Ryan's take on our conversation would be. But I think really it's, you know, we could have more conversation around it. When a PR gets open, it could be enhanced.
Sure. Sounds good.
Thais, I know you opened this originally, and you and I have had numerous discussions across various forums about this. Does that feel good and right to you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, because you're definitely, I think you, more than anybody else, you are the countervailing opinion to mine. So I'm hoping that after many years, we've come to a good, like, yes. Hey, all right. Okay, good.
No fun at all. Good.
Okay. Last one. In Corral, number 69, issues to be fixed, issues to fix before Corral can replace stable.
Carl, did I see you check off?
Sorry, what? I'm here.
I see you check. Oh, no, no. 8 of 9. One more to go.
One more to go, yeah. So it's the location of our settings. The repo cache is the main one.
Okay.
And I should put that under the user directory somewhere, and I will wait a little bit and then just integrate that library, the apters.
The apters, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm doing some work now with more rich integration tests.
Okay. So, yeah, basically the conversation that happened, I believe in Zulip, was between Carl and I. I was saying, I think the best way to push Corral forward would be to start getting all of the Pony libraries that we currently have, which are saying use stable to do this, and also are using stable themselves to do like their own testing, you know, like regex, NetSSL, etc. To switch, the first thing would be is to switch those over for their own internal testing to using Corral, make sure it works, and then the next step, once that is good, would be to switch them over to advising use Corral rather than rather than stable. And so the conversation became Carl and I talking about what are the issues. Carl, could you come up with the list of issues that we should definitely address before we start doing that? And well, there's one left now because Carl's been knocking them off. Boom, boom, boom. Great job, Carl.
Thank you.
Yay. Meow.
So my plan was to, I was going to be the one to do like the switchover of everything once it happens. I think probably one of the few things that might be holding us back just a little would be having a tagged release version of apters at this point, which I was planning on doing when I do the next Pony release, which currently I'm hoping to have time to do this weekend. Well, I believe I have time to do this weekend, but I can't guarantee.
So for a tool like Corral, which kind of is the root of dependency management, what are people's thoughts on using something like, what's it called? Submodules in Git to include other things that it depends on so that it doesn't have to run actual dependency resolution for itself.
So as always make me nervous, but
so I will say this. I don't know of a better solution, Carl, right, for solving the bootstrapping problem with Corral. If anybody else has a better solution, that would be great. At this point, we are using submodules in a few other places, including our LLVM stuff. And as long as we use them, I'm going to say correctly, that's not really, as long as we use them without crossing over into how they can become problematic, which so far we haven't with everything. And from my understanding of what you're talking about doing with Corral, I don't think is problematic either, Carl. Then I think it's a reasonable solution and probably the least painful way to move forward with that. But I definitely, you know, as I said in Zulip when we were talking about it, I'd love to hear thoughts from anybody else if they have them.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, submodules are the best solution to this problem.
Okay.
Yes, I like how I like Theo how we both don't say it's a great solution, just it's the best solution.
Well, it's like the CMake situation. It's the best of bad options.
Yeah.
Least awful thing we can do.
Yeah. I don't like any of the solutions. I walk up to Git submodules very carefully at this point. Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. That's everything we've got on the agenda today. Anything else anybody else needs to say?
Oh, just one thing for everybody here in case anybody missed it. Two of these fall on major holidays for an awful lot of, two of the upcoming syncs fall on around major holidays for an awful lot of the folks who are on this call, in particular December 24th, which is Christmas Eve, so I preemptively canceled that one, as well as the next week, which is New Year's Day, and I preemptively canceled that. We have ended up, we did not preemptively cancel those any of the last 3 years, and then we ended up canceling them like a couple of days beforehand, so I just went ahead and did them this year ahead of time.
Technically, that's New Year's Eve, but yes.
New Year's Eve.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not trying to be pedantic, just if anybody's listening in. Okay.
I can't do math in my head, apparently.
It's fine. I had to double check with
the 30 days past September, April, June. Oh yeah, you're right. Okay. 31 days in December. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Oh, there's the problem. Yep.
We're all good. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you, everybody who came in. Thank you for everybody who's tuning in. I am going to say goodbye and stop recording.